everybody. Welcome. It's Dr. Sophie. Welcome to our weekly podcast. We have a lot of great topics, and this week we have another one. It's called How to Set Goals. Usually we go into depth with a good expert, or really a great expert, and this week we have one. We're going to be talking about how to set goals from the perspective of what is the importance of setting goals if you don't meet them or you don't pay any attention to them. So are they really important? How do we get goals, and how do we get them set up, and how do we find the ones that have meaning for us in our own individual life? How can specific goals push you forward in your career? Because they have to be part of weaving you on your path of life. And then, of course, we'll end with those 4 points that I think you should take home and listen to. 1-855-SOPHIE-NOW or 1-855-767-4966. Each caller, when you call me, will receive a free signed copy of my book, Side by Side, The Revolutionary Mother-Daughter Program for Conflict-Free Communication. Today, our guest expert will be Jim Wilson. He's a leadership executive and career coach with a lot of years, about 30 years of corporate experience with big deals like Citibank and Fidelity Investments. He holds a BA in psychology from Manhattan College and an MBA from the Wharton School at Penn. He'll be with us in a short second. So our guest expert is Jim Wilson. He's a leadership executive, a career coach with more than 30 years of corporate experience with Citibank and Fidelity Investments. Wow. He holds a BA in psychology from Manhattan College and an MBA from the well-known Wharton School at Penn. Jim, you with us?
I am, doctor.
How are you? We're going to talk about setting goals today, right?
That's right.
Why is that something we should talk about?
I think that that's something that we should talk about because it's what moves us forward. And if we're not moving forward, we're going backwards. One of my favorite quotes is from Winston Churchill, who said, "Success is going from failure to failure without a loss of enthusiasm."
That's true.
And I think implicit in that is that you're trying new things. You're trying to move forward. And when you set goals, that's the marker that you use to move yourself forward.
So, like, when we set these goals, you know, many people do, especially like the start of the year, I'm going to lose weight, whatever, all those things. And they never really reach them. Is that because they're too big, they're overwhelming, or is it because they just don't stick to it? Like, how do you start this so that you can be successful and you can sustain it?
Well, doctor, it's a tough, tough question because I think the answer perhaps varies a great deal from person to person. But there is a book written by Kagan and Leahy called Immunity to Change. And among other things that they talk about in there is the fact that out of 7 people who are told that they're going to die unless they change their behavior, that cardiologists have found this, out of those 7 people, 1 will change their behavior. The other 6 will not. We just have an inherent immunity to change. Part of it, I think, is based on the fear of failure. Sometimes it can be based on the lack of motivation. Sometimes it's based on the fact that we can't realize before it happens the benefits of what those changes may bring to us. But the simplest answer, I think, is to some extent that we are all creatures of habit. It has to be something that we really know will make us happier before we'll do it.
So you're saying then we could set all the goals we want. If we have this incredible or innate fear of change or we are creatures of habit, it's going to be tougher for us to really move forward. But if we could understand maybe the benefits of those goals and once we get to that place and really focus on that, that helps us trajectory-wise get there quicker, you think?
I think that that's right. I also think that, as the dean of coaches has said, Marshall Goldsmith, that everybody needs help. So I think that the need for support in attaining goals is a critical need. People who are coaches can see this. What we describe ourselves as are partners in accountability. So if somebody makes a commitment to do something, even though it's for their own benefit, it helps them to get it done if they've made a commitment to somebody else that they're going to be accountable for achieving that goal that they set. That's part of it that will help people to attain those goals.
And do you think that's because they would be embarrassed because they didn't uphold it, maybe?
Yeah, I think that that's part of it for sure. That they'd be embarrassed, that they'd fear that they had failed this partner who they've set up as someone with whom they will share accountability. I think that's a big part of it, the embarrassment. I also think that the attitude, the mindset that people have as they begin to pursue goals is very important. And now, you know, goals to some extent are inherent in our nature. I mean, in the sense that you can look at the simplest goal, one of which is to survive. It's implicit. So that you have a goal every day to get enough to eat and to drink. As you move up the chain through like Maslow's hierarchy of need, to the top of that pyramid, it's self-actualization that becomes important. So the goals that you'll see in people who have moved up that pyramid will be much more sophisticated, I believe, than the ones that you'll see at the bottom. But they're no less difficult to attain, I would say. It has a great need for to have the right motivation and a headset. Part of that, I think, is I just watched the TED Talk, which was fantastic, by a fellow named Sean Acor, who actually teaches at Wharton now. And he is talking about productivity, but he talks about productivity as it relates to being happy. And they've proven that people who are the most productive are happiest. So how do you achieve happiness, or how do you achieve an outlook that would lead to happiness? And he has found that there are five things that will help to do that. The first three is to think three things that you're grateful for, new things that you're grateful for every day. To journal about one thing that gave you joy over the past 24 hours, to meditate, to exercise, and to perform one random act of kindness. If you do that for 21 days, it shifts your perception from one that may be looking at negative things and shifts to a view of the positive. And once you have a view of the positive, it's easier for an individual to accomplish things. So it helps to set that kind of platform from which you're going to set your goals and move forward.
Okay. Tell me those three again. The first one was three things that you're grateful for each day. Journal about something.
And it doesn't have to be anything of great significance, but three things you're grateful for. Think about those. Journal about one thing that gave you joy over the past 24 hours. Take some time to meditate. Take some time to do exercise. And perform one random act of kindness.
And those
21 days, a person's outlook begins to shift from one that's either negative or neutral to one that's looking for the positive things.
That's good. I think we should all try that, don't you think?
I think it's great. And it is an amazing thing that beginning to do that, I've done it myself, but then, like so many people who set goals, I slip and I'm not doing it. When I restart, it's amazing how quickly it shifts your outlook.
That's nice.
That shift outlook not only makes you feel better. When you feel better about yourself, you have a tendency to accomplish more.
All of our listeners listening, how would we tell them that we would start, or what would you tell them is the best way to start to setting their goals? What's the first few steps to getting on this whole path?
Okay. I think the first step is to think about who you want to be, who you want to show up as. And in my coaching, and especially in the leadership coaching and career coaching, that's one of the most important questions. Who do you want to be? And people will say, well, what do you mean? And one of the exercises that I have them do is to sit down and write their own obituary.
Right.
And I'll say to them, we'll review it. And I'll say to them, what was it that made you distinctive? What was it that made you unique in your life? And that helps to lead people to the behaviors that they want to engage in to accomplish the goals that they want to accomplish. You know, another great example of goals is a gentleman named Ted Leonsis, who wrote a book called The Business of Happiness. And he was on a plane ride in his 20s, and the plane was going to crash. There was no doubt about it. It was just clear that it was going to crash. And he said instead of getting worried, he got angry. And he got angry that he hadn't had the chance to do what he wanted to do. Well, naturally, the plane didn't crash. When it landed, he wrote down 100 things that he wanted to accomplish. And I can't say that these were all things that looked like they would necessarily be attainable. And in his 20s, probably didn't even look realistic. But when I heard him speak 5 years ago, and he was in his mid-60s, and he had accomplished all but 10 of those goals, I think. And they were things like he wanted to own a professional NFL team. He owned a professional NFL team. He'd accomplished things that you would say, if you'd read them in his 20s, probably would have sounded ridiculous. That's the other thing. I tell people they have to write their goals down, because when they're just in their heads, their dreams, when you write them down, they become goals.
Okay, so telling our listeners really how to start this path, you tell them that they really have to write their goals out so they actually have them and they're not in their head or they're not just pipe dreams. And then
Right. Really
describe who they want to be or show up as by, you know, you can exercise that by writing your obituary.
Yeah.
Okay, what else?
Yeah.
What else we tell people to get this path going?
Well, it's talking about what will make you happy. What do you want to do? What will really make you happy? So one of the most common ones at the beginning of the year is that people will say, so many people say, I want to lose weight.
Right.
And they go gung-ho for a couple of weeks, and they don't see immediate results, so it goes by the wayside.
Right.
That's the type of place where support is really critical, I think. That if you're doing that type of an exercise, you're trying to get yourself in shape or you're trying to lose weight, doing it either as a part of a group, so there we have that accountability, or doing it with even with one other person, again, the accountability and the assistance to one another is very important to keep you on the path. So the question is to say, what do I really need to make me happy? A part of it is to just to tell people, to get them going, to help them to heighten awareness. A lot of people go through life kind of in a dream state. So yeah. What you want to do is to heighten their awareness about, with that question, who do you want to be? How do you want to show up? Hopefully that awareness then leads to some sort of action, and that action leads to achievement of goals. You know, one of the models that I use in my coaching business it's the acronym ACHIEVE, which stands for, each letter stands for the following. Action, A is for action. You find that leaders always move forward. They put one foot in front of the other. Action, act with courage, that's the C. Act with courage and humility. Try to be innovative. Try to set a great example. Have a vision of where you want to be and who you want to be. And empathize. Feel what the people who are following you feel. So that action and act with courage applies to many things in life, not just to leadership. It can apply to leadership in the sense of leading your own life successfully. But you need to take action, and you need support. So it all flows, I think, from the question, who do you want to be? Who do you want to show up as?
Right, and I think if that's well-defined or as best as it can be defined at that point in your life, that's a really great step and really great starting place.
Absolutely.
Hang on, I want to play you a voicemail we got.
Hi, I work in the entertainment industry, and I think it's different from a lot of industries in that my career could move in, you know, any number of directions at any given time, and I would be happy with many of those directions, but I wanted to know how I could focus in on what goals I really want within that field, and if my career direction were to change, would altering my goals count as not attaining them, or would I, you know, kind of need to re-strategize? And just wanted to know the healthiest way to approach that. All right, thank you.
Hey, so what do you think about that?
Well, I think that for that caller, one of the things to do is to do an exercise called the 7 stories. And what that is to look back over your life and write down 20 to 25 times in your life when you've had success. Then to go from that to the 7 stories of those 25 which resonate the most with you, which you feel you were most successful doing. Then you look at each one of those stories and look at what behaviors you engaged in. Look at what were the enjoyable behaviors that you engaged in. When you find what enjoyable behaviors they were that led to your success, then you begin to apply that to how you want to move forward. The next exercise is then called the 40-year vision. So you take those enjoyable behaviors and apply them to where you want to see yourself in 5, 10, 15, 20, and so on up to 40 years out. It's a good way of getting a focus on what behaviors really helped you to be successful, and usually they're behaviors that you really enjoy engaging in. So that points you in a good direction. And I would also say to that caller, altering your goals is certainly not failing at those goals. But failing at those goals is not the issue. Learning from those failures is the most important thing. Again, as Churchill said, it's going from failure to failure without loss of enthusiasm. So you learn from those failures and you move forward.
So in other words, it's really looking back and seeing where the strengths were in all of your decision-making and successes and build it with those building blocks.
Yes, right. Right.
Okay. So I want to have a couple, another question for you. If you're setting these goals and they're going to push us forward, are they supposed to push us forward personally, in our career, both, everything?
You know, so many times that people say personally and in your career, when I talk to people, I try to combine those things. It's your career is part of your personal life as well. It is supposed to push you forward in all areas of your life. When I went to Georgetown's Institute for Transformational Leadership a few years ago to study more on, about leadership coaching, at our graduation, the average age, I think, of the graduates was somewhere in their 50s, and the commencement speaker congratulated everybody for taking the initiative to do something like that later in life. What they were congratulating us for was for taking the steps to create more awareness for ourselves, to move forward for ourselves, to accomplish new goals, to continue moving forward. You want to build on your successes. That's the other thing. It's not that we need to ignore our weaknesses, but it's more important and more successful to focus on those things that you are very good at and make them stronger. Make your strengths even stronger. And try to figure out ways of compensating for those areas where you may have some weakness, but focus on the strengths. Okay. I coach a number of club PGA pros who are busy a lot of their time coaching other people in the game of golf. And we make a lot of analogies between the way that you want to live your life and the way that you want to play a successful round of golf. And one of those things is to try to focus on the positive things. You've got a 150-yard shot to the green. Say, I want to get this in as close to the pin as I possibly can. Avoid the negatives. The minute that you say, I don't want to hit this in the bunker, your focus shifts to the thing that you don't want to have happen. And unfortunately, it frequently does. So to focus on those positive things that you do well, think positively, think affirmatively, try to stay away from the negative.
But see, I think some people would say, well, that worries me because then that means I'm ignoring some problems maybe. What would you say then?
Well, I do think that people need to be cognizant when they do have problems. I think that it's important to look at those problems even in a positive light. What can I do to shift the focus from something being problematic to something being a success? You need to take care of things. Don't get me wrong, this is not all goodness and light. There are negative things that happen in people's lives. But there are some people who you see who manage to turn things around, shift things for the better, to at least put the most positive spin on them that they can. And part of that is because they'll set positive goals to change their situation. They're aware of what the situation is, whether it's a problem or not. They'll take some kind of action that leads them to achieve the goals that they want to achieve. And maybe it's the alleviation of whatever the problem is. So it's awareness, action, and achievement.
Okay. So then, For listeners who have, okay, they get to a place where they've set goals and they're meeting them, how do these goals then move them into becoming a leader? I mean, there are many people who want to do that and they don't know how to make that transition. What would you say to that?
Well, you know, a lot of that comes from the person themselves. So when I'm coaching people, I'm dealing with people who typically are very successful, but they are people who want to be more successful and more fulfilled. So that it's all about listening to people, hearing what they say, and asking them powerful questions. People who are successful at any level in life will usually have the answers themselves. I have found that very few people really take anybody else's advice. They'll take their own advice for the most part.
Right.
Even if they take somebody else's advice, after you talk to them a little bit later, they typically depict it as if it was something that they thought of. So that the important thing is to talk to people about what their goals are, how they come up with those goals, the steps that they are going to take. A good question is, what are you willing to do? Because it typically takes some kind of sacrifice. It takes some kind of change. So that willingness to make a change, to go after a goal, is a very, very important thing. And then it's helping them to define what success will mean to them as a leader. Leaders all have different kinds of issues, all sorts of different issues that they need to deal with. Some are much more obvious than others, but it's the leader themselves who comes up with the answer through powerful questioning. So, it's that partnership and accountability that creates the platform from which a leader can move forward to become more effective in whatever areas they need to be effective in.
Got it.
And the importance of that partner and accountability is, once again, as Goldsmith said, everybody needs help. So he has somebody call him up once a week and go through a list of things that he had made commitments to do so that he can refocus on those that he failed at and move forward on them in the next following week.
Right.
So the answers typically, Doctor, come from the leader themselves.
Right, and there's no substitute for accountability.
Right.
I want to read you an email. This is Sam from Portland, Oregon. He sent in an email that says, I've held many different jobs and nothing was really giving me any satisfaction. Is there something I can do to figure out what I should do with my life? I'm feeling a little lost right now. So he needs goals.
Yeah, he needs some goals. And I think he needs some coaching as well. What I would say to Sam, if I started to work with him, I think I would take him through those seven stories and ask Sam, what has he done in his life that was particularly successful, that gave him joy, that gave him a sense of pride in what he had done, and use that as the basis to move forward. It's extraordinary to me, during my 30 years at Citibank and at Fidelity, how many people would come into my office in their 50s and say, I don't really know what I want to do.
Right.
Now,
love that.
You wish that they'd ask themselves that a bit more in their 20s. And it is not always an easy thing, because when you really say to somebody, I ask them this question, I say, if it wasn't for money, if it wasn't for prestige, and if it wasn't for risk, what would you do? And people will usually be quite hesitant to answer that question. They almost don't want to answer the question.
Why? Why do you think that
is? Because I think that there is a risk in that. Like, I'll have people say, well, I really wish that I could become an actor, for example. And then you'll hear, but I have two children and a wife, and I've got a job that pays me pretty well, and I'm an accountant. So how am I going to do that? Well, it's because that action that it would take to do what they really think would resonate with them would come at some price,
right.
Some high.
Right.
And unfortunately, when you have people do the drill with the obituary, you will see things in there that they never did, and they didn't do them because of the prestige that they would give up, because of the compensation that they'd have to give up, and because of the fear of failure.
And what do you tell people then? You say, go for it? They shouldn't really give in to those things or fight that, or what?
Well, it usually takes a lot of conversation, but people can find ways of doing it. So you may find somebody, in this example that I use, you may find somebody who says, okay, I can't do this 100%, and I can't do this to support my children, my family, but what I can do is I can join the community theater, and I can make my way through that. I can get that kind of fulfillment that I need for now. I can hone those skills for now, and then when the children are grown, whatever the time is right, I will have set a platform to go forward, to take the risk, because now I'm more on my own, to attain those goals that I want to attain. So it may be something like that, but it's helping the people find the answers for themselves. And sometimes, frankly, Doctor, as I'm sure you know, that some people will say, no, I can't do it. And I may get to the end of my life and regret that I didn't do it, but I just can't do it.
And then that's when we call in the medication.
Well, you can do that. I can't do that.
So some similar to what you're describing here is almost like parenting.
Yeah, it is to some extent, although most parents probably don't listen as much as we should. You know, it's some of these things seem so cliche, but we don't pay attention to them.
Right.
Reasons that the Buddha has such a small mouth and big ears is because the Buddha listens. He doesn't talk. And it's in listening that people solve their problems. It's in listening that they discover what they want to be aware of. And it's in listening, it's through listening, that the listener then can find the powerful questions that resonate with a person that help to lead them to the goals that they want to achieve.
Got it. I think this is great information. Thank you so very much for sharing yourself with us, your expertise and your time and all of your great insight.
Thanks for having me, Doctor.
You're welcome. So would you say before you leave us, you've reached your goals?
No, I think my goals are ever changing. I've reached some of them, and I'm very happy with that. But I do have new goals. I actually revisit them daily. And I take from a long list of goals, try to prioritize those, and work away at those goals every day in some form or fashion. The other thing is we need to remember to give ourselves credit. I think human beings are too much inclined to say how we failed and we haven't done what we hoped that we would do, and less inclined to pat ourselves on the back and to say, I was successful in that. And so with my clients, I will say, we'll go back and revisit periodically. What have you accomplished over the past month? What's different now than it was a month ago? What do you feel good about having done over the past month? Try to focus once again on those positive things.
Got it. Very, very good, helpful information. Mr. Jim Wilson, thank you so much. Where can we find you?
You can find me, doctor, on my website is Canavan and Reed. And you can find me at jim@canavanreed.com.
Got it. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thank you, doctor.
Take care.
Bye now.
That's Jim Wilson. He's a Wharton School graduate. He's a 30-year veteran in Citibank and Fidelity. Lots of leadership skills, lots of training. Does a lot of leading people, coaching people, and we've got some great information. So I think there's four really key points that I want you to listen to and take home when you're thinking about setting your own goals for yourself, your children, or your family. The first thing I think is important is goals. We have to realize are inherent to our nature. We have the goal to survive is our basic instinct. So we are born to be goal-oriented, and I think that's something we need to see within ourselves, because a lot of times when we go to start setting goals, it's so aversive and it feels resistance and whatever, but the bottom line is it's part of who we are. And goals are really just things that we've done anyway, and we do them innately. So set them and meet them, and you'll feel a whole lot better. And I think goals also need to be seen as, you have to have a willingness to move forward in your life and a willingness to get to the next step. And if that's there and you have good goals that are attainable and really they make sense for you in your life, you're going to meet them then. So it's all within our nature to do it. We just have to see it. The second thing that I think is very important about our goals is that goals are achieved by person to person. So my goals may be different than your goals, and we may go along a different path to meet them. But at the end of the day, they are there for us to follow as a guideline, because we want to really see and feel change within ourselves. But at the same time, change is the thing that we are most resistant to. So it's a catch-22 sometimes, but it's important to see that. And in recognizing that fear of change, it helps you get over it even quicker. We're also very goal-oriented as people, but the only way to really reach those goals is to be held accountable to them. So it's very important for us to have a structure that we set in place, whether it's our friends or our family or our boss or whoever, that really we talk to about our goals so that we're able to be held accountable and we're asked about them and we're almost to a place where we don't want to be embarrassed that we're not meeting our goals. And that helps us achieve what we need. The third thing I think that's really important, and we've heard today about setting goals, is that goals, I mean, it's really important to look at how do we even begin to set our goals. And we learned three things today that are very important in starting that process of setting up our goals. The first thing is to imagine yourself and answering the question of who do you want to be and how do you want to show up. We heard from Mr. Wilson today that that's really a key player in setting your goals. Who do you want to be? Who do you want to show up as? And that helps you define the kind of where you back into what you want to become, and your goals are set from there. The second thing he taught us about setting our goals is to write them out. Don't just have them in our head, because if you have them in your head, they're kind of amorphous and they may never be concrete and they're not in front of you. You don't maybe feel the need then to discuss them with anything or with anybody else. But the key thing is to get them down on paper and see them, because it's really very important. And then the third thing that he told us to do, which was pretty compelling, I think, for me at least, is to sit down and write your obituary and see how you would like that read and what it would look like and what are the key components within that. And that's where you really start to set your goals. And again, you can back into that as well. It helps define who you in your mind at least think you want to become. And then the reality of whether you can become that is what your goals are set around. The fourth thing that I think is really very important is to, on a daily basis, do these three things. And I think these really hit me pretty hard, and I'm sure they're going to hit you as hard, because they're not hard to do, and they really change your disposition. And we learned that those three things are, number one, be grateful for three different things each day. So when you wake up in the morning, what are the three things, or before you go to bed at night, what are the three things you were grateful for that day? The second thing to do is journal one time a day about something in that 24-hour period that you were really joyful for. And then the third thing to do is to make sure that you're exercising, meditating, or doing some kind of self-caring and self-soothing activity for the day. Those three things, as Mr. Wilson has told us, will really shift our mind and our energy and our motivation for meeting our goals within the next 20 to 30 days once we start that process. So stay focused on those four things, those four key points, and I think you're going to get goals set and you're going to get your goals met. So that was it. We talked about how to set up goals, how to keep goals on track, and how to look at yourself and look at your strengths and be able to set goals. And they have to change as you change and you evolve. So your goals at 20 are going to be different than your goals at 40. I want to thank my guest, Mr. Jim Wilson. Great information today. Thank you for all of you guys for listening. All your calls, all your emails are very helpful, very stimulating. You can always find my podcasts. They are available on our website at www.drsofie.com and are on iTunes as well. Phone app is available on iTunes. Go for it. It's out there. Call my voicemail 24/7. It's always there. 1-855-767-4966. The title of my book, Side by Side, The Revolutionary Mother-Daughter Program for Conflict-Free Communication, is out there for all you guys. Listeners, check me out on Twitter and Facebook. You'll know where I'm going to be. iTunes, go visit it. Download that full version of Andy Grammer's Keep Your Head Up. And the most important thing for me is don't forget to sweep.